Hello, folks. I'm back again. We are back again. This is Tell It Like It Is with Alex. And today I have a very interesting young gentleman with us. There's a podcast that we talk about people's life, what they are doing, how they are impacting their own society. And then we tell it like it is. They are telling us their life just for us to know and for us to learn one or two things from their life and see how we can add it to our life. So today we have a very young gentleman in our midst, as I said. I don't know how to describe him, but as we go on, you get to know him more. But one thing I know for sure is he's very vocal. Yeah. So, Solomon, you're welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome to. So, this is Solomon Padite. I hope I got the name correct.
Right.
Yeah, Padite.
You got it right.
Yeah, so Solomon, you're welcome to this is Tell It Like It Is.
Thank you very much.
Who's Solomon?
Well, I kind of hate that question. Because then I have to sum everything into one to make it, I mean, something that is consumable. Anyway, so briefly, Solomon is a male.
Uh-huh.
I said a male because you know the system that we are in. So I'm a male he.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a husband, a theologian, an apologist, a Christian apologist, let me be concise. And then a tech enthusiast, is something like a technopreneur, if we can put it that way. Technology entrepreneur, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so reading a bit about you before today, so you're a communicator, and you're also an accountant, you do business development, you do programming, he's got a lot and like analytical skill. That is what I'm really interested in. Sure. Those are the skills that he possesses. And today we're just going to talk a bit about him. He has also put in some publications which I think we're going to talk more in the next episode that we do have with him. Yeah. So Solomon, tell us, what are you currently into? I know you're an entrepreneur. I also know you are the co-founder, right?
Yeah,
co-founder of Flanga.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, what is it about?
Flanga?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Flanga was birthed out of my frustration to simplify or automate the way church music is done. So myself and some three other partners came up with the idea. Mm-hmm. We initially call it Electronic Music Director, okay. MD. Then over time, iterations, upon iterations, and then the idea changed into MERP, like a musician resource platform.
Okay.
So we tried raising some funds, and then some investors punched some holes in the business idea, but we didn't give up. Then it birthed Flanga.
Oh, okay.
So the business concept changed. So currently, what Flanga is about is a social music platform that connects music creatives to music consumers and then industry professionals or industry gatekeepers.
Oh, okay.
So for example, if most, like 80% of our artists in Africa are emerging independent artists, they're not signed under any record label.
Okay.
And for any of them to meet maybe Richie Mensah or Bulldog, it's almost impossible. Where are you going to get the contact number from?
Okay.
But what Flanga does is that Flanga brings these people together so you can consult them at a very affordable fee.
Okay.
So on the normal circumstances, you can get them. But on Flanga, you can get access to them, and you can consult them for 30 minutes, 1 hour, audio consulting, and then virtual consulting, integrating Zoom. Yeah. So basically, that's connecting the emerging artists, connecting music creatives to the industry.
Okay.
Industry experts. Mm-hmm. And then connecting these music creatives to consumers so that if I'm a consumer and I'm looking for a music director or a music producer,
yeah,
I can find one on Flanga. Kind of a fever
kind
of experience. But
okay.
The business concept merges Fiverr and then link them together.
Okay.
Okay. So it's like a gig economy.
Okay.
And then the marketplace.
Okay.
So you can find a consultant, you can find a freelancer within the music sector for whatever project you want.
Okay. I believe it's an app, right?
Yes, it's a mobile app and then a web application.
Web application. So is it online yet or?
No, we're not live yet. Currently we are mass testing and then iterating. So we have a beta, an MVP.
Okay.
Which we are testing to see how the target market accepts it, how they use it, how the user experience is.
Mm-hmm.
Then we use it to focus on the core functions that are important for now.
Okay.
Because we're working with limited resources, so we cannot build everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're building it from, one step to the next.
Okay.
We're not in a hurry.
Yeah, we are not in a hurry. I think being he's saying that we are not in a hurry. I think we even jumped it. We jumped the discussion that we have. Like, we just want to know him. So he told us who Solomon Padite is. So how was your growing up like? How was it like?
Oh, my growing up. It's quite interesting. I grew up in Osu.
Okay.
And within the Osu RE, I don't know if you know Osu Manya. Okay, they call it an estate, but that's not an estate.
Yeah.
From the house called Chono Chachu.
You know, now he's going African. He's going African
yeah,
now.
So that's where I grew up, you know, playing football, being a disobedient child, going to the beach when they say you shouldn't go. I was a very good footballer, but growing up, my mother didn't want me to play football, so I changed into academia.
Okay. Right,
so that's where I grew up. I mean, grew up with my mother. I was parented by my mother, a single mother.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, he taught me really, really important virtues and values, like how to respect women. Very important to respect women.
Yeah.
And to put family first at all times. So, I mean, that's how my growing up has been. It has made me someone who is a family person, and I respect women.
You respect too, man. Yeah.
Briefly, that's
it. Well, Osu is in Accra. That is Accra, Ghana. Yeah. That's where Osu. The RE is a residential area. Yeah, I also don't even know that. But I think the only place I know Osu is the Osu High Street.
Yes.
So the if you're listening, Street, the Oxford Street. Yes. And I think Oxford number one street, that huge building Yeah. So Solomon also is, he is also into management. Sorry, business developing. How is it going so far with you?
It is a passion that I developed because growing up, I realized that, I think in my tertiary education, I realized I was overly critical.
Okay.
So it wasn't like that when I was young.
Uh-huh.
But when I go to tertiary institution, I realized, no, I've become overly critical.
Okay.
I find holes in systems, no matter how good they are developed.
Okay.
I'm able to find holes in the systems.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that I'm becoming more analytical than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So then I took interest in business.
Okay.
And managing things. Like, okay. Kind of managing things.
So okay.
That's where the passion developed. And over time, I mean, working, we had a partnership called Bessa Music Consort. And then I learned a lot how to manage the business.
Okay.
And I brought that understanding into Flanger.
Okay.
And it has been a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, management is not easy. You're not only managing a business or corporation, you're managing people. You're managing their emotions, their mentality. So it's not easy working with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but everything about God is management.
Yeah.
I mean, made Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's management.
It's management.
So it has been a good journey so far. I mean, I'm growing into it. And when it comes to business development, I'm more concerned about structure, systems, you know, governance, implementation, making things work.
Yeah.
You know, not just putting it on paper, but making sure that it works.
Are you one of those guys that when things are not structured, you just don't see yourself fitting in? Are you one of those people?
Exactly. I mean, if there's no system and there's no structure, it's difficult for me to work within that system. There has to be a system, and the system has to be designed geared towards results. So when there's no system, I find it very difficult to work.
Okay. When there's no system, just like me, sometimes when there's no system, you don't know where to fit. You don't know how to fit.
Exactly.
Now, coming back to the analytical skills that you had or you have, don't you find it challenging? Because here in Ghana, if you challenge the system, it becomes an issue. Challenge the system, say you are too known, you too fuzzy and all those things. How do you do it? Because I tried it once. I'm also critical, but then, you know, that thing is, I've shelved it for now.
Yeah.
So how do you do it?
I mean, unfortunately, we in our part of the world, in Africa, I think our tradition, our national philosophy is kind of flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Because since you're from the beginning as a child, the philosophy, your mind is shaped to be timid, to not be vocal, not voice out.
Yeah.
Even if it's wrong, just keep quiet. In Africa, you can't tell the elder that he's wrong. Okay? Because you as a kid, like, you're not wise. The elder is wise. Wisdom is associated with eldership.
Yeah.
And folly is associated with childhood.
Childhood, yeah.
Yeah, so it's difficult voicing out. But first, what I try to do is to understand the people, I like the people around me, where I am, the environment,
Mm-hmm.
understand what is going wrong, and then work on communication, like find a way to communicate it.
Because okay.
I realize that most people are they are aggressive
mm-hmm.
towards change.
Okay.
When the change that is coming makes them feel incompetent or inferior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how then do I communicate it so that the person doesn't feel like he doesn't know anything?
Yeah.
Or he's worthless.
Yeah.
Right, so that the idea or the change is welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's the approach I use. I try to communicate it with respect and wisdom. I mean, looking at the person I'm dealing with, how do I communicate it? How is I'm going to communicate it? And it's not going to affect the person's psychology or mentality
okay.
and emotions. So that's how I handle it.
Yeah, it's good. I have a nephew at home. That guy is really critical. And he's not scared of telling uncle you're wrong. Uncle, you're wrong.
Tell it like it is.
Yeah, and I like him though, but you know, it is left with a bit of the respect part. But I like it. He's vocal. He's free. And I remember growing up, you can't talk to an adult and look in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, eyeball to eyeball. So you don't respect anything. You can't just voice out.
Yeah.
You just And it is one of the things that we Africans lack. Growing up, sometimes I remember when I was doing my BA and masters, like outside. You see, the people, the whites, they talk back to their lecturers. They are very expressive. And when it comes to we the blacks, we more conservatives. But I think with that one, the Nigerians are better than the Ghanaians.
They
are very aggressive, and they just tell you their mind and that. Okay, so. From your talking, I can see you a bit into technology.
Yeah, I love tech.
I can see that.
I love tech.
Nobody needs to tell you, man. Yeah, you did programming, so what languages do you...
A couple of them. I'm the hardcore programmer.
Okay.
But because of what I'm doing, like managing the company, tech company, so I had to understand what the developers are doing.
Okay.
So they don't just come and tell me things. So I had to understand a bit of what everybody's doing. Back end, front end, design, UX experience and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually took some time, like 6 months, to learn how to design using Photoshop, the Adobe Suite.
Adobe Suite, yeah.
XD. And then currently I also learned how to use, what they call Figma.
Yeah, I saw you use the Pro, the XD, the After Effects.
Yes, After Effects.
So okay.
The major Adobe products, I had to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then I learned a little bit of programming too for web development and then mobile application. Just so that when they are working, I understand what they are doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm the hardcore programmer. But I can, for website, I can develop websites.
You can develop websites.
Yes, I can develop websites.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, I have a website.
Okay, so what's it?
SolomonPadite.com.
So SolomonPadite.com.
Yes,
so can you spell the Padite so that
The Padite is Parditey.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's
Parditey.
So Solomon as in SOLOMON.
Yes.
Dot.
No, Solomon Padite.
Solomon Padite.
Sorry. Solomon Padite.
.com. .com. Okay. So when they get there, they'll get to know more about you.
Yeah, they'll get more about me. And as a matter of fact, the website is not even about me.
It's not about you. What is it about?
It's about what I love.
What you love?
Discipleship.
So what do you love?
I love discipleship. I call myself a teacher. Okay. I love teaching, bringing people, seeing people grow up and become better versions of themselves.
Okay.
So I designed a website with my name, SolomonPadite.com.
Okay.
But actually, it's about a project that I'm working on called the Beyond Religion Project.
Okay.
Right.
Beyond?
Yes, Beyond Religion Project. So the whole idea is to raise 1 million people as seed for God's work in the present generation and in the coming generations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more concerned about biblical interpretation. I mean, teaching truth, like right doctrines, and teaching the truth of God's word.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a Christian networking discipleship kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, where we match young, it's targeted at the youth, so we match the youth to sound and matured men of God for one-on-one discipleship and virtual teachings and all that. It's kind of big.
I think one of these days, if I can get you, I would like to talk more about that. To see the vision about how it's going and everything, how it's going. So you're talking about technology. You say you are. How do you see technology like in the next 10, 15
years? That's interesting, because the way tech works, it's kind of difficult to predict tech.
Okay.
Because you don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 years, or next 15 years.
Yes.
You can make assumptions, but they may not come into pass. Because who even knew that now we'll be having ride-hailing apps? Then we'll be hailing rides. I mean, who knew that we're going to stop saying taxi,
yeah.
Hailing rides? You know? So it's difficult to predict, but on assumption,
yeah,
I can basically talk about the metaverse.
Okay. You
know, virtual reality, augmented reality, mixed reality, the metaverse. Yeah. And I mean, as a Christian, I see us having church in the metaverse.
Yes. I think I read an article, and the article was saying that, are we safe with that?
Mm-hmm.
Are we safe with that particular trend that we are going? Because on a second look, it's a bit scary.
Yeah, it's dangerous. But tech has always been dangerous, and tech has also been beneficial.
Uh-huh.
So it all boils down to how we use tech and how it's regulated.
Mm-hmm.
But long and short, as the world progresses, human contact is going to reduce to the barest minimum.
Hmm.
Barest minimum. It's going to be very expensive to see someone face to face. Okay? If the transport fare is not expensive, the economy is so hard on you that you can't be moving around like that.
Uh-huh.
All right? So, at the end of the day, the buildings are going to be worthless, and we'll be doing a lot of virtual meetups.
Mm-hmm.
So virtual meetups take us into the metaverse. Of course, there'll be distractions in the metaverse, just like there are distractions on WhatsApp and on Facebook.
Yes.
So there'll be distractions in the metaverse. But it opens into how the church positions herself to take advantage of tech for church growth and then discipleship. Those are the two things. For church growth and then discipleship. I mean, discipleship brings church growth. We're not talking about numbers, but talking about people who are maturing in Christ. And tech can help the church a lot. I mean, if we really look at how we can get the best out of it and not target as demonic and, you know, satanic and all that, we can.
Let's go a bit into that aspect. I know you've written a bit of publications on where do you draw the line between faith and reasoning.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the current one that you wrote, where you draw the line with it.
It's not the current. I mean, science, faith, and then reason. I mean, how, whether they are enemies or they actually work together.
How do you come about with the publications? Like, what comes into your mind when you're writing all those things?
I'm not a weirdo. I'm not a freak.
No, my letter that I read about you and I asked about you, I think in my perception, you are.
I say that because of what I'm coming to say. I'm not a weirdo, honestly. And sometimes a doctor may say I have a medical condition, but I don't know about that. But I kind of think even when I'm asleep.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I think even my mind works even when I'm asleep.
Okay.
Not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and within those times, I get ideas.
Okay.
So I wake up.
Okay.
And I put them down. So sometimes, most of the topics I write are not premeditated. They hit me, and then I kind of research into it.
Okay.
I put my thoughts together and then just write about it. But on the issue of faith and reason, I mean, it's kind of a conflict, because you see that academia and faith, there's a divorce when it comes to the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church has separated reason from faith, okay? Because we look at reason as carnal, and we look at faith as spiritual.
Yeah.
But reason is even spiritual, because it's God who gave it, and everything God gave is sacred.
Okay.
So before God, there's no line between sacred and secular. Faith is not secular. Faith is not sacred. Faith is a gift from God. Reason is not secular. Reason is not sacred. Reason is a gift from God. So it is how we use it. So science is actually a gift from God.
Okay.
And science is the exercise of intellectual powers. Okay. All right. So basically, that's what the article is about, how we can marry both of them in a good balance. Where balance, I'm not saying 50-50. That's dangerous. But I'm just saying that a mix or a balance that is relevant to the growth of faith and the practice of the Christian life.
Okay.
Okay, because, I mean, faith doesn't need to be without reason.
Okay, so where can somebody listening, where can they get to read it?
The article, I think I had it on WordPress. but I don't know if I've uploaded it on my website.
Okay.
But I think I had it on WordPress. But on LinkedIn, I think that publication will be on LinkedIn. On Solomon Padite, yeah.
Yeah, folks, this podcast is brought to you by One Africa Worldwide .com. Yeah, One Africa Worldwide Limited, sorry. Yeah, so you can check them on OneAfricaOnline.com. You can check them there, and then you see what they do. Yeah, so Mr. Padite.
Yeah, you get it.
What is your philosophy in life?
My philosophy in life. I think that was it. What's my worldview?
Okay, what's your worldview?
Yeah,
how do you see the world? Like, what are the principles that you stand to, and how has it affected you growing up and making you who you are now, and where it is taking you? Yeah,
that's a big question. I'm trying to organize my thoughts, so I answer it briefly, because it's a really big question.
Okay.
But my worldview of philosophy has been shaped over the years.
Okay.
Primarily by my mother.
Okay.
Who brought me up.
Okay.
So I took my regard for women and my understanding of how women are from there. They're
okay.
Really strong species.
Okay.
And then partly also by people that I was privileged to live with or who had an input into my life.
Okay.
They shaped it. And then growing up, my own being opinionated. I mean, looking at things from my faith and my relationship with Christ, how that's shaped. So my worldview is primarily, I won't call it religious, but primarily it is based on, centered on Christ Jesus.
Okay.
The person of Jesus Christ. So whatever I look at the world through that lens, that knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Okay.
That God loved the world so much, He gave us His beloved Son. God created us to have dominion. And dominion over everything, over the fish, over the cattle, over everything that we do. Manage the earth. Be the governors of the earth. Somewhere along the line, we messed up. We ceded that dominion authority to the devil. Then Christ came to give us back that dominion.
Okay.
So I believe, one, in God, and two, in people.
Okay.
That we love God with all our hearts, our mind, our strength, our soul.
Mm-hmm.
And we love our neighbors as ourselves.
Okay.
So I believe so much in people. Know that people are good, but I believe that people can change.
Okay.
So that's what my worldview is centered around: God and then humanity.
God and humanity.
God and humanity.
God and humanity.
Yeah.
So you were talking about God and humanity. I can see. So would I say you are spiritual but not religious? Oh, you are both. You are religious and spiritual.
That's a tricky one.
You know, some people say that I am spiritual and not religious. I am religious and not spiritual.
I saw a certain article on Facebook from, I think, one Nigerian gospel musician. He said he's not a Christian, that he's a follower of Christ. People were bashing him. But he probably has his...
He's right
in a certain way.
Yes.
Trying to say that he's not a religious person.
Yeah.
But he's a follower of Christ.
Uh-huh.
But even if you're following Christ, there's a bit of religion in there.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because you have to pray. And religion is basically the rituals that we do.
Okay.
Believing the supreme being and then living according to certain precepts.
Okay.
Okay. So if you do that, it's religion. People say Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Yes, Christianity is a religion and a relationship. Okay, or it's a religion that focuses on a relationship with God.
Yes, it's a religion that focuses on relationship with God. I think I like that.
Yes,
the relationship with God aspect is but
so I'm religious, I'm spiritual, but not religious in the sense of discrimination or segregation.
Okay,
all right, because God is not discriminatory.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't, it doesn't separate.
Yeah,
all right. It says that He has come; the grace of God has appeared to all men, so that all men will be saved. So.
Okay.
I'm a religious person in the sense that I pray to my God, I read my Bible, I study my word, I do the things that I'm supposed to do, like loving people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from that angle, I'm a religious person. But as a spiritual person, I have a relationship.
You have a relationship.
With Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ. And I always yearn to,
keep it going.
Yeah, growing the relationship.
Okay. I think in one of your posts that I chanced upon, which I like, is that identifying a problem, it's easy. So many people are expert at it. Yeah, at it. Developing a solution is the difficult one. Yeah. So which one do you stand? But from me talking to you, I can see that you are somebody who solves issues.
Yes, I
Yeah, because you saw the loophole in the music industry, and then you brought in Flanga.
Yeah.
And then you also trying to raise people to be, that is, disciple people. Yeah. Teach them. And then the 1 million, I think we will have to... We'd have to talk about that project.
It's really scary.
We'd have to talk about that project. And your worldview is God and a follower of Christ and humanity. Is there a code that you go by? A code that is like a mission. Is it a mission statement for you yourself? Like what you're telling that this is what I go by.
Yes. Absolutely. For me, I yearn for only one thing, and that's to please my God.
Okay.
So for everything that I do, I ask myself, how does this please God, or how does this give glory, glory to God?
Mm-hmm.
Does it put me in a right standing with God? Mm-hmm. Will a good, I won't even say a good Christian, but with somebody who understands the worth and then the mission of God, do this? Because God's vision is to reconcile people back to himself.
Okay.
So every capacity I find myself, that's my thought, that's a quote. Will it give glory to God? If it's not going to give glory to God, forget it. I'm not interested.
Okay. Will it give glory to God?
Yeah.
So, with your life story and with what you've told us now, it's like you do identify problems and then you solve them. Is it this that you always wanted to do? Do you always want to go into technology? Is it your dream thing that you're doing?
I won't even say I thought about technology.
Mm.
I think the passion developed after tertiary education.
Okay.
My roommate was a tech guy. Like, he was studying computer networking or so.
Okay.
Or computer science.
Which school was that?
Kofiura Polytechnic. Now, Kofiura Technical University.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so my roommate was a computer science student.
Okay.
I was doing accounting.
Okay.
So he'll be there and he'll be doing his things. I don't even know what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
So after school, I developed a passion for tech.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of a futurist, like,
try
to look into the future, what's going to happen in the next 10 years, the next 20 years, how can I position myself to take advantage of what is going to happen in that period. So that's where the passion developed.
Okay.
But I'm also an artist. Like, I studied visual art at senior high.
Okay.
Then when I went to tertiary institution, because my parents and my mother and my elder sister would not agree that I do, I was going to do music.
Okay.
But they would not agree that I do music. But this kid was going to become like Shatta Wale. Now it's really paying. So they were scared. So they said I should do accounting because I'm the only male in the family. So as the only male, the idea of a good employment is wearing tie and sitting in an office and making some good bucks. Yeah, so they diverted me to go and study accounting, but eventually I developed a passion for it. That's one thing about me. If I'm doing something, even if I don't want it, I have to do it.
Okay.
So I just give it all my best.
All your best.
Yeah, so tech came into the picture later.
Okay.
But it was always connected to music.
Always
connected to music.
Yeah.
So most of my tech solutions are music-based, like music business, music industry.
Okay.
Yeah, how to accelerate the industry, facilitate work, make it more easier, faster, because time is money.
And we've not even talked about your music aspect, how it came, whether it was you were giving birth with it, or you played the organ, right?
Yeah, I played the
bass.
Yeah, played the bass.
You played the drum.
Oh, just a little bit.
But you do vocal training.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
Musically conscious.
Yeah, I can see musically conscious. So when it happens like that, and you go for programs, and you go for programs, and you are sitting there, and do you go there to listen to the music, or you go there to analyze the sound?
But even growing up, I wasn't more focused on criticizing people's work.
Okay.
Because I believe in I won't say levels, but abilities.
Okay.
Abilities vary.
Okay.
They are greatly varied.
Okay.
So people's output or the efforts they give is based on their ability at a certain point in time.
Okay.
So, obviously they're going to grow.
Okay.
And as far as they're committed to becoming better,
yes,
their ability will become better.
Okay.
So then the effort that they will give at another time will be better.
Okay.
So if you criticize them now, you are being unfair because you're not understanding where they are right now. So I'm not critical about people's ability, but sometimes you can't help it. You know, sometimes the music is bad, the sound is bad, you're not enjoying it. You just walk out.
I mean, I'm a lover of music and I love good sound. So if it's not, I cringe.
You can't feel it.
Yeah. So
understand.
Yeah. Look, I don't even know where to stop this conversation, and our time is already. So, what are you going to tell somebody who is listening to us, who is out there? I can see you're not the ordinary guy. You always see problems and solve it. What advice are you going to give to the youth out there?
Well, let me put it this way. I mean, when God created Adam, he told him to till the ground. I mean, take care of the garden. The whole idea is man was created for work.
Yeah.
Inactivity kills man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you see our fathers, when they go on retirement, they start dying. Because then they're inactive. Right?
Yeah.
And you start dying. Work sustains man. Man has to work. The devil even gives job to the idle man. At all costs, you have to work. You're either working for God or working for the devil.
Okay.
At the end of the day, you are here on a mission.
Okay.
You are here on an assignment. It's not a coincidence that your mother met your father somewhere and then your father copulated with your mother and then the sperm, out of all the million sperms that are released, yours was able to overcome the rest of the sperms and swim to the egg, then you came out. It's not a coincidence that you're on Earth and then you're just here and living your life just anyhow on booze and cigarette and women and all that. No. You are here on an assignment.
Yeah.
You are here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The earlier you identify that purpose, the better.
Hold on. Now, I have an issue with that. You said the earlier you identify that purpose. How do you identify the purpose? Because there are a lot of people going out there who don't even know their mission.
Yeah.
Their mission, and then to talk more, their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
How do they?
Yes,
we don't have time. But can
briefly, most of the time, not in all time, but most of the time, your purpose is always connected to your gift.
Your gift.
Yes, it's always connected to your gift.
Okay, most of the time.
Most of the time. God is not going to request from you what he has not given to you.
Okay.
So most of the time, it's connected to your gift. So even if you're a footballer, it is connected. Your purpose is connected.
Okay.
Your purpose is not to play football and make people happy. But then how do you draw people to God? Or how do you impact lives playing football?
Okay.
You can use your a part of your income.
Okay.
To come up with an NGO that takes care of probably orphans.
Okay.
Okay. Helping them to get a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Make their standard better. Clean water, shelter, good health, you know, good clothing. You're making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But that is good works.
Okay.
So as far as that good works is connected to God, you have a connection, a relationship with God, and you're doing good works. It's no more just good works, but it's you doing what you're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody can do that when they have money. Philanthropists do that.
Yeah.
And they don't have a relationship with God.
God.
So God is saying that even your good works is like filthy rags.
Yeah.
So for your good works to be relevant, you have to be connected to Jesus Christ so that your good works comes out of a place of faith and regard for God and humanity. Love for God, love for humanity, basically.
Okay, so I think I cut you there in the midst of it, the purpose, and then we had. So, where do you see yourself in the next, possibly 5-10 years? How are we going to see?
5 years, we're in 2022.
Yeah, 2022. So
in 5 years, we're 2027, right? In 2027, I think I see Flanga being a big tech company providing technological solutions to the music industry.
Industry.
Making the industry work better. I even see myself coming up with a business model that helps artists become independent of record labels. Not to throw away record labels, but they are milking the independent artists. They're milking them. So I'm trying to find a way to make it easier for artists to cash out by themselves, make their own money.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the biggest problem is the management side. I mean, find somebody to manage and all that.
Yeah.
What if that process can be automated? What if we have a platform or a tech that helps you keep your books in place, keep things in place? An agent, where you can just find an agent to get your gigs. They get their cards. I mean, what if the whole system is automated?
Automated.
That's what I'm thinking about. So probably in the next 5 years, I see Flanga as a big company. I mean, connecting artists to gatekeepers in the industry and reducing the percentage of emerging artists that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we have more A-list artists, especially in Africa. My focus is in Africa.
Focus is Africa.
Yes, Africa first. Before we
Africa
think about
first.
The world. Yeah, so that's why I see myself as a great CEO, making big strides and making changes in the music industry, making it more lucrative for artists. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so folks, you heard him. You heard him where Flanga is going. And that's easy. I don't even know. He's got a whole lot. And this is the first interview we're having with him. So we're just touching bits and pieces. And I think we're going to have another one. That is if it's free. I believe we can make time. Yeah.
Anytime.
And then we'll have him with us. And then we'll talk more about that. I'm more interested in the 1 million project. What's the name again?
Yes, Beyond Religion project.
Beyond Religion.
I was even scared when it hits me like 1 million. I was like, God, how is this possible? Let's cut it to 10,000.
Okay. Beyond Religion.
Or
100,000. I see we've changed ourselves with religion. We
put ourselves in a box.
In the box, you know. We don't want to think outside the box. Yeah. We don't want to like. We don't want to ask questions. Mm. Just like in the beginning, we take everything as it is.
Yeah,
but man, sometimes you have to put a bit of reasoning into it. You know, you have to put a bit of reasoning.
And not to cut you, but I mean, one interesting thing about being religion briefly is that it is holistic.
Uh-huh.
It's not just concerned about your faith.
Yeah.
But I mean your intellectual capacity.
Yes.
Growing, connecting you to mentors who are in the corporate Ghana. I mean, uh-huh. People who are CEOs, business leaders,
yes.
Who are doing businesses.
Yes.
Teach you how to solve complex issues.
Issues.
You know, critical thinking.
Uh-huh.
And then character development, personality development.
Yes.
You know, and in this confusion of whether male or female or both, helping you to be able to identify who you are without ambiguity. Because all these things are ambiguous, without ambiguity. So it's quite holistic.
Yeah.
Your soul, your mind, your spirit.
Spirit.
That's what
soul, mind, spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So folks, this is Tell It Like It Is. This podcast, as I said in the beginning, or in the middle, was brought to you by One Africa Worldwide Limited. You can check them at OneAfricaOnline.com. Today we were privileged to have Solomon Paddy with us, an entrepreneur, a Christian apologist,
theologian.
Man, he's all in one. Yeah, and a tech guy. And he told us as it is. He told us about his life, what he believes in, what and where he wants to be or where he wants to take Flanga to in the next 5 years. Mr. Solomon Paddy, we are so happy for spending time with us. And we hope to get you here again.
Sure.
And be specific and talk about that project. And then we'll talk more about it.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So we are out, folks. This is Tell It Like This. This is Alex, and I'm out.